by mail or email to eyoung@montgomerycountyia.gov. Montgomery County is an equal opportunity employer, and veterans are strongly encouraged to apply.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's 13 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, 71 degrees at our studios, and winds are calm. Going to have the opportunity and pleasure, as I've been telling you this morning, to visit with Trip Nerup. And I do need to note that this is paid for by Trip Nerup for Iowa. Trip, good morning to you.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm glad to be here.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
So before we get into our conversation this morning, how was your Labor Day holiday weekend? Great?
It was good. I was in Essex in the parade, so yeah. had a good time doing that. Had a couple of kids of some kind of relatives of mine who were helping me throw candy. So, you know, they'd see one of their buddies by the side and see if they can nail them with some Tootsie Rolls. It was fun.
That's one of the beauties of parades, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. So, all right, cool. So we're going to jump right in here and visit. So we have a few minutes to talk. But you are running for District 18, House.
Yeah, House 18, yep. Right? So that's just so people know. That's Cass County, Montgomery County, and Page County, with the exception of Clarinda.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How'd you get here? How'd you get into politics? Tell me a little about yourself.
So I'm originally from St. Louis. My connection to Iowa goes back to 1995. I was working for the Clarinda Company,
yeah,
which back in the day was a typesetting company. A lot of good people worked there. And I kind of fell in love with the area.
It's a great area, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's terrific. And, you know, unfortunately, the company was having problems. And when our biggest customer made me a job offer, I took it. So I wasn't actually in Clarinda very long.
Okay.
But I met some wonderful people who became, you know, fast friends of mine for the last 30 years. So I actually spent, you know, every 4th of July and other holidays in Villisca, actually on a farm north of Villisca, you know, for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So when it came time to retire, I said, well, I know where I want to be.
Why wouldn't you want to be here?
Well, yeah.
That's what I think, Trip. Yeah. That's what I think. Yeah. So I'm biased, though.
Well,
no bones about it. Yeah. So when was that? Several years ago, right?
So yeah, I retired in 2018, and I moved here in 2019 in the spring.
Wasted no time getting involved in politics, local politics.
Yeah, kind of actually an accident. A friend of mine suggested that I run for city council in Villisca. And I said, well, you must be nuts because nobody knows me. I just got here. Why would they vote for me? And she says, no, believe me. They're looking for new blood.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I raised my hand. That's you know, that's your first mistake when you volunteer.
Be careful when you volunteer. Yeah, because, yeah.
And next thing I knew, I was on city council.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was kind of my start in politics. I've been on city council for the last 6 years. It's something I really enjoy doing because in a town the size of Villisca, the problems usually are a size that you can get your arms around.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that you can understand and handle.
You can make a difference, in my opinion, especially at a local level like you're talking in Villisca.
Yeah.
I think even at a district level and a state level, you can make a difference.
Yeah.
So why did you choose, well, before we get to that, have you been a lifelong observer of politics, interested in politics?
Yeah, I have. And you know, much to my brother-in-law's surprise, I've been a fiscal conservative the whole time. I mean, I am.
Say what?
I am a Democrat, but I am a serious fiscal conservative.
Okay.
Debt drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that here just in a bit. So why did you choose to say, you know what, I'm throwing my hat in a ring here for 18. Why'd you do that?
Well, two reasons, really.
Okay.
The first reason is these races are often unopposed.
Yep.
And it's, to my mind, it's just not a democracy if you don't have a choice. So I believe strongly enough in, you know, making sure that there's, you know, at least two choices on the ballot.
Yep.
That A, I'm willing to run, and B, I started a PAC to help fund candidates in Southwest Iowa. So it's something I believe in a lot. My second reason is I'm just not happy with what they have been doing. and I will use the word they a lot, because there's a lot of Republicans in Southwest Iowa. They didn't sign up for this. You know, there's a farmer, you know, north of Stanton didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what? What this state needs is a 50% tax cut for millionaires. Nobody said that. No farmer said that. Nobody who works at Precision Diesel said that. Nobody works at Hy-Vee or anywhere. Mm-hmm. Nobody said, hey, we need a 50% tax cut for millionaires. But that's what we got. So I don't blame Republicans for this, because there's lots of Republicans in Southwest Iowa. They're good people.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't really their idea. Thank you.
Let's get into that. Now, just to lay this out a little bit so people know, we're going to have the opportunity to visit a few times.
Right. Yep.
We're going to get to the flat tax at some point.
Yes, we are.
Maybe
yes,
not,
we are.
Maybe not today.
Yep.
But we will get that, which is what you're alluding to.
Yep.
So let's talk about finances and deficit, because we have been deficit spending to the tune of about $1 billion, give or take $100 million here or there. What's $100 million?
Yeah, amongst friends. Yeah, yeah.
But to the tune of about $1 billion.
Yeah.
We've been running a deficit. Why are we doing that?
Well, this gets to be a little complicated.
We have smart people.
So
let's dive into it.
So here's the deal. In 2021 through about 2024, we had a huge surplus, billions of dollars in surplus. Now, there's a couple of things that it's important to note here. This money came from the federal government. The surplus was not because Iowans were being overtaxed. No. This was strictly money. It was basically COVID money. That's where all this came from. COVID money from the federal government, which, by the way, was all borrowed money. So, you know, you get me going on that.
Or so, printed.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, anyway.
Basically, this was not a case of Iowans have been overtaxed, so we're returning that money to them. No, this was federal money, borrowed federal money.
Okay.
So that's kind of the first thing to know about that. The second thing is that we had a choice what to do with that money. You know, we could have invested it in roads and bridges. We have the worst bridges in the country, by the way. We could have invested it in education, which we've underfunded for the last 10 years. There's lots of things we could have done with that money. Instead, we passed a flat tax, and actually we didn't, they did. And the result of that is most of the $1 billion a year that we're taking out of the taxpayer relief fund is going to people who make a lot of money. So your average millionaire got a $30,000 tax cut. Your average family of four, which people may not know this, but I mean, we're not a rich area. I mean, I think most people actually do realize that.
Yeah.
You know, your average family of four in Montgomery County is looking at an income of about $54,000, which is, you know, to a guy like me, you know, $50,000 used to be a lot of money. But no, it's not for a family of four. So they got about $1,000 out of the deal. So millionaires got $30,000. Your average family of four got about $1,000. And quite frankly, if they're driving a diesel truck, that's long gone.
Okay. So there are a lot of millionaires in the area, though, too.
Well, I mean, there's about 32,000 in the whole state. Yes.
Okay. I would argue that there are many farmers that are technically millionaires.
Okay, different. So there's a difference between income, so making $1 million a year versus owning $1 million worth of land.
So
big difference.
So right. So I'm just making the distinction.
Yeah, yeah. So when we're talking about saying millionaires, no, I'm not talking about that farmer north of Stanton who's, you know, got 300 acres.
Who would be a millionaire?
Exactly. Yeah.
Multimillionaire.
Yes.
So, as an American, why do I really care? We run deficits. We have $40 trillion nationally.
Yep.
No indication of slowing down.
Yep.
Why do I care?
Okay, so...
As an American
Let me answer your question with a quick question back to you. What do you think a budget is? What is the state budget? What does that mean to you?
What does a state budget mean to me? To me, it is your projection of the money that you're going to be having in, and then the appropriation of that money through different groups through the community in the state.
Okay. So here's the way I look at the budget. And this is kind of a high-flown way of looking at it. But so the budget to me is the financial embodiment of the wants, needs, and dreams of the people of Iowa. Wants, needs, dreams. So what do I mean by that? So our needs are, you know, we need roads, you know, all the basic stuff that states do. We need roads, we need schools, we need police protection, all that stuff. Wants, well, I need a road from Villisca to Red Oak so I can go shopping. I'd really want that road to be, you know, a nice two-lane road with passing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's kind of what the wants are. It gets you, you know, a step above your very basic needs. Dreams. That's where it's really important. So at some point, back when I was a kid, I took the Iowa Basic Skills Test. And back then, Iowa was number one in education. Mm-hmm. And Iowa was number one in education because people in Des Moines had a dream that Iowa would be best in education. You have to have that dream before you can make it happen. So I think the dream portion of it is the most important thing. So basically, the budget is affecting every person's needs, wants, and dreams in the whole state. So it's personal. What happens in that budget affects everyone's life in some way or another. So it's not just a bunch of magical numbers. You know, and say, oh, well, last year was a $1.4 billion deficit. Well, why do I care? Well, you care because eventually those chickens are going to come home to roost. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to make a 20% cut in education. You know, do you want little Johnny to be in a class full of 60 kids or 25 kids? You know, do you want there to be a PE teacher? Do you want there to be a music teacher? You know, these are real effects that are going to be the result of this budget.
Trip Narep with me. This conversation paid for by Trip Narep for Iowa. So, that's your view of the budget. We have $1 billion, and I'm using that loosely. It's give or take either side of that $1 billion mark for the last several years. Expenses have gone up. Talk to me about expenses and how they have gone up.
So the biggest expense that has gone up is $350 million for school vouchers. I refuse to call it a savings account because there's no savings going on. Nobody's saving any money. Right. It's a voucher. $350 million last year. It'll probably be more this year. At some point, it's got a peak, one would hope. But I'm firmly opposed to handing out money to schools that are completely unaccountable. And they are. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do anything that the public schools have to do. They don't have to take anybody they don't want to, for instance.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a really bad idea to use public money in a way that's just completely unaccountable.
That would be your number one. I mean, expenses have gone up.
Well, that's a fact. That, you know, that used to be zero. Now it's $350 million.
Yeah.
Now our biggest expense always is education. That's the biggest chunk of the budget, which I'm happy that's the case. I'm a firm believer in education. I think that's what you know, the public education system is one of the many things that has made America a great nation. You know, everybody gets an education. Doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to be rich to get a good education. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful thing.
So, it's great. Here's my question to almost everybody I have the opportunity to speak with. How do you make it happen? These are your thoughts and your concerns, and we're going to have several more of these, by the way. Yeah. We're going to get into the flat tax. We're going to get into school funding. We're going to get into that. But how do you make it happen?
That's a fair question. I mean, as you have mentioned, I am a Democrat. There aren't that many of them in the legislature right now. So how is adding one more going to help? Well, here's the answer to that. Seven people held up the budget until they got a vote on the pipeline bill. So if you have even one extra person who's a Democrat, that means at that point you only need six people from the Republican Party to stand up and say, you know what, this is something I don't like. So it increases the odds of having more of a dialogue between the two parties, because what has been happening for years now is basically one party says this is the way it is, the other party screams and fumes but can't do anything.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't, and this is one thing that I like about Rob Sand is, you know, he says, look, you elect me governor, we're going to have divided government, and I think that's a good thing because that means both sides have to talk to each other. Terrific idea. I agree with it.
Would you, and Tripp Narep with me again, by the way, this morning, would you have the ability or do you think that it would be a strong suit of yours to be able to work across the aisle? Would you be able to work with Republicans?
Sure. I mean, you have to. Absolutely. And there are, you know, there are some things that I'm going to agree with them on. I mean, as I said, I am a fiscal conservative. You can't just throw money at problems. That's not going to necessarily solve anything. But where I disagree with them is a matter of priorities. You know, we have a pot of money. How should that be spent? And, you know, the flip side of that is, how do we raise that pot of money? And what they have done to us with the flat tax is they've locked us into a system where we're not going to be able to increase our income taxes. And at the same time, people are screaming about property taxes. My property taxes just went up 15%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just paid them last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit of a shock to the system. I understand why people are upset about that. I'm not happy about it either. But we as people in this state have to decide how are we going to pay for things. You know, if we're going to keep relying on property tax, people are going to be unhappy. If we're going to shift that burden, okay, what are you going to shift it to?
So do you I'm running out of time here, Tripp.
Gotcha.
Okay, putting you on the spot a little bit. Are you a fan of the progressive tax system? Are you a fan of?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there another tax system that satisfies the need, in your opinion? Another system, let me say.
Well, I think a progressive income tax is a much better idea than a flat tax. I think it's a way better idea than trying to run everything on property tax, and a way better idea than boosting the sales tax. So, yeah, I mean, of all the three major ways that we raise taxes, I'd say, yeah, progressive income tax is the best. And, you know, people like to say, okay, well, what's the magic number? And, you know, I think we had it pretty much right before we went to the flat tax. You know, a millionaire was paying, I think 8.1% was the top rate. You know, I'd be willing to settle for, you know, 7.9. I'll give on that a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think millionaires needed an extra $30,000 a piece. I just don't. And that's money that could have been used for other things, like, I don't know, say education. There's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, you'll be back next week.
I will. Thursday.
We'll talk again, and we'll visit more about the. Some of these very items we'll dig into a little bit more. So.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Aaron.
Very good. Nice to, again, Tripp Narep with me, Tripp for Iowa. This was a paid political ad by Tripp Narep for Iowa, and our appreciation to Mr. Nair for coming by and visiting with us. We do appreciate it. It's now 74 degrees at our studios.
It's time for an update on what's happening with the weather and sunshine.